This week's sportscaster on the line from Darwin in Australia's Northern Territory, Shannon Byrne. Kia ora, Shannon. Welcome back to Nights.
Hello, Brian. Hello on a very exciting low humidity day from Darwin as well.
You get excited about low humidity, don't you? It's an event. Low humidity is an event, right?
For everyone listening, the change of humidity, the temperature will stay the same, about 33 degrees. But over the weekend, we had 88% humidity. And this morning, we woke to 64% humidity. So smiles on the faces, but probably a bit more moisturiser being used on the dry skin.
Bliss, absolute bliss. Maybe it's all the New Zealanders flying to Darwin when we brought our humidity with us.
Yes. Hopefully. Keep coming, please. Keep coming.
Have you seen any New Zealanders wandering around Mitchell Street tonight?
No, I would have to say I've just been for a walk in the city, so a bit of exercise, and can't say I've noticed an influx just yet, but hopefully Darwin is on the list for many people that are looking to travel, or at least the Northern Territory, getting to Alice Springs and Ayers Rock. But no, I can't say that we've noticed just yet the influx of Kiwis to Darwin, but I'll let you know as soon as it happens. I'll text you.
What about Darwinites planning to come over here?
Yeah, oh, actually, I know a lot of people were relieved when it was announced that trans bubble was going to happen from your Prime Minister. My boss is going to be coming over in June. She has grandchildren, twin grandkids that have been born the last couple of months that she hasn't been able to meet. So, yes, as soon as it was announced, I know a few people that were booking flights. And so you've got some Darwinians coming your way.
Now, Shannon, I know last time we tried to get through, and we didn't quite get through, it was going to be that we were going to have a report from you about the footy finals, and we're talking about Aussie rule finals, because that's the biggest game in town in the Northern Territory, and it was finals a few weeks back. Who was playing and who won?
Look, you know, and it's strange to think, just even listening to your news bulletin there, you know, about, you know, how bad April was this time last year, what you're going to be talking about, what people were doing through COVID in April 2020. You know, a couple of weeks ago in March, we had our NTFL grand final, and I vividly remember speaking to you, I think it was a week after the NTFL grand final, to say the largest crowd ever for a Northern Territory sporting team had gathered to watch a sporting event as lockdown occurred days later. You know, to think that it's 12 months on, we had more than 10,000 again at the NTFL Grand Final. It was Nightcliff and St Mary's, and you wouldn't believe it. Why I always say to everybody, especially cricket, you go there for the first ball and you stay to the last. Same as football, you wait until that final kick or the final whistle. It was a draw at full time. Nightcliff had led most of the way, and St Mary's had a remarkable comeback in the last term of their Aussie Rules grand final, and they had to play an extra 30 minutes. So not only were they out on their feet at the end of a very warm night in Darwin, but they actually had to play another 30 minutes to try and get the trophy. And in the end, it was the Nightcliff Tigers who then, in the process, won three in a row. So I don't know if the celebrations were huge that night, because the players were very, very tired. And then we had the Kiwi Ireland grand final the next day, and you know, we're just thinking back this time last year, no one was allowed to travel to the island. It was closed and locked down, so they had a couple of thousand people and a few interstate as well. So gee, we really have changed in just a year, haven't we? We've been very lucky.
I seem to remember the year I was living in Darwin, it was Nightcliff versus St Mary's, but 2003, can you cast your mind back that far? I'm sure the Saints played.
Well, look, to be honest, I actually wasn't living in Darwin in 2003. So I have only returned 18 months ago. But before that, I was 14 years out of my hometown. But, yes, St Mary's and Nightcliff have had some amazing battles. I can tell you, I know that Nightcliff would have lost, because they only won their first flag a couple of years ago. It was their first flag in more than 60 years. So there you go. Just from history, I know that 2003 grand final would have gone to St Mary's.
I think I seem to remember the Saints won, because I think the Saints were singing their song at the end, the Saints fans.
Yeah. Well, Nightcliff won in the front of this three-peat. They hadn't won a flag in more than 60 years. So they're on a bit of a roll at the moment, and they've had a big drought. And at the moment, they're just claiming everything in sight. So in the women's grand final as well, it was Pint who won, and Pint had a remarkable season. They dropped one game, and that was in the semi-finals, but because they were on top of the ladder, they went through for a double chance, went through and claimed the grand final. So, yeah, for any sporting code at any level, not only to go undefeated is you know, remarkable, but they only dropped one game in the whole season. So in our Women's Aussie Rules, which is very popular here as well, it was the Pint Football Club. So, yeah, it was a very big day of grand finals.
I've just gone to the website. I think Saints did beat Nightcliffe.
Yep, they would have. As I said, I think it was the 60s the last time Nightcliffe won their final. So, yeah. It would have been St. Mary's.
That was in the afternoon. You play at night now. But does that really make much of a difference to how hot it is for the players?
No. They play at 6:30 now because there's a women's competition. In those days, there wouldn't have been a women's competition. So we have an under-18s grand final at 4:30. The women's grand final is on. And then at 6:30, it's the men's grand final. And, no, in some of these days, I mean, the sun's really the only changing factor, but it's so muggy that, you know, it sweat, the ball's slippery, you know, it was chance of rain. I think that early morning there was rain around. So it doesn't change it too much because it's still a very, very warm, muggy day when we play in the middle of March.
Is life pretty much back to normal in terms of getting around Australia now? If we're allowed to go to Australia, I assume Australians are allowed to go all over Australia too.
Yeah, I guess the one thing that's changed as well is you kind of have to do a lot more paperwork. It's like you do now have to line up like you're coming through immigration when you would go to another country. So most people kind of put an extra half an hour to get their luggage and out to either the taxi or friends waiting. So once you land, especially in Northern Territory, you have to fill out where you've been, how long you were there, give dates. So you all have to line up and do that individually. You can do it online. But you still have to meet someone and hand over your details when you come back into the Northern Territory. I think a few places are a little different, but that's what the Territory has at the moment. So, you know, you probably wouldn't notice it too much if you're coming over from New Zealand, but locals, anyone coming into a state or territory has to fill out a bit of paperwork as well.
What does it mean for sporting teams then?
Yeah, so look, it's pretty exciting. This weekend, we've actually had some Australian championships back on as well. So last year we had no Northern Territory team travel interstate to play anyone else. That was all closed down by all of the sporting bodies. But this weekend we had the Australian under-18 basketball championships were on. The Northern Territory boys played and girls played really, really well in that. So that was the first time they've been away in more than a year and a half. The hockey, there was the under-18 national championships. They were played in Tasmania. And our Northern Territory women's side won a thrilling penalty shootout to win the women's bronze medal playoff. Now, if you can understand the size of the Northern Territory, some of these girls had had a 20-minute training session because some lived in Melbourne. Nova Peris, one of our great Olympians, was an assistant coach and her daughter Destiny played in the side and lives in Melbourne doing university. So we kind of get, you know, players who've either from the Northern Territory or have played Northern Territory for many, many years, they can come together and play in a state team. And, yeah, they won bronze, won a medal for the first time ever at a national championship. So we are very, very proud of what they've achieved on the weekend. So, you know, it's exciting. Basketball, hockey on this weekend, there's a lot more championships coming up. So at this stage, it seems to be sport is returning to normal and they're, you know, allowing, because you think some of those kids last year, Brian, you know, 17 years of age, turning 18, and now they can't ever play in that under, some would have missed out on representative sport, which, you know, in the scale of things, but that's really a less developmental stage for some of our athletes. So it'll be interesting to see that flow on effect.
Now, just to put it in context, the Northern Territory has a population, I think, of less than 500,000, right?
Yes.
Spread over a land area that's probably four times, at least four times the size of New Zealand, possibly more. The distances are huge. It's difficult, I think, to comprehend until you try to travel the country by land. So for you to get a bronze when you're up against all these other really highly populated states, which have probably got more resources as well, although you get a bit of a helping hand from the government because you're so isolated, is quite extraordinary. That's an extraordinary hockey result from the women's team.
I'm going to put this... I've just had a quick look. So we're actually a quarter of a million population, so 235,000 last census. We beat Queensland in a penalty shootout, which has 5.1 million people. So, when we do well at championships and get a medal, we are definitely batting above our average in any form. But, you know, it just shows you some of the strength of what our sports are like. You know, hockey, we had Nova Peris, who a dual Olympian but played hockey for Australia and won an Olympic medal. Her niece, Brooke Peris, is in the Australian hockey team at the moment. We have a male player in the hockey side as well. From the Northern Territory. So hockey has been hugely popular for us and being able to have probably for the last 10 years a male player from the Northern Territory playing for the Kookaburras. So
yeah, what's the secret there? Is it because you've got that beautiful long dry season, which is where you got those, where you, it's kind of perfect for hockey?
Yeah, and I think, to be honest, hockey families, you know, the Peris family is very, very strong up here in hockey. And also... we just have, I guess, really have had some good development coaches in the underages that have helped these kids through. And, you know, we always say you can't be what you can't see. And having Nova Peris go to the 2000 Olympics, imagine all the young hockey players knowing that they, if they run around in Darwin or their backyard, could play at the Olympics just like Nova Peris did. So, you know, sometimes you just need that one person from one small town to make it, and you just don't know what difference they're making in the lives of young sporting people. We always say that about the rise of AFLW, which is the Women's Aussie Rules. And, you know, there's so many young kids now that want to emulate their absolute stars. But can I just quickly touch on, Brian, I was a selector over the weekend for the under-19s Northern Territory netball team. And we had three girls from New South Wales who had put their hands up, missed out on selections from their state, but were coming here to trial as imports. And, just giving you a context of, you know, not even people out of Australia realising how big the Northern Territory are, but one of the girls from Sydney asked if we could see Uluru from Darwin. Now, to put that into context, Alice Springs is a two-day drive from Darwin, and then it's an eight-hour drive to Uluru to see Ayers Rock. So we kindly explained to her that, no, you cannot see Ayers Rock from Darwin. And you can't see it from Alice Springs as well unless you drive 8 hours. So,
you can't even see Alaska, you know, from Darwin, mate.
Exactly.
Sorry. Sorry. Nova Peris, now she was, but even before Kathy Freeman, she was the first Aboriginal Australian woman to win a gold medal in the Olympics, Summer Olympics, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was. And, you know, another, I guess, advantage that we've seen from the crazy 2020, she was living in Melbourne, and Nova Peris decided to come back to Darwin and be closer to family and kind of get down to that, you know, severe lockdown that Melbourne was in for so long. So, you know, she's then been around the hockey system and really helped this under-18 women's side. But, yes, we could always say that Nova Peris from Darwin was the first Aboriginal to win an Olympic medal. And there's a lot of talk about why she doesn't have a statue somewhere, you know, in Darwin or in at least some of the great museums around. But she also went on to track and field as well. So she's an amazing athlete, and we're seeing now her daughter go through. But, yes, Nova Peris is also a former senator in the Australian Parliament. So, you know, we're pretty lucky to have someone of that calibre back home for a while.
Yeah, I noticed one of her tweets about the bronze medal win in the hockey is my daughter played a ripper last night in Launceston, freezing down here, because, you know, that's the other thing. You went to Launceston, you know, that's in New Zealand, you're just as far south as Launceston. Quite a lot of New Zealand's, you know, not as far south as Launceston. That's tough stuff for someone from Darwin.
I'll say, at least they went in April. We used to have national netball championships in Canberra in July, so we'd go from 30 degrees to -5, and I just always remember a coach saying, take your beanies off, take your gloves off to warm up, and we would just be freezing. It'd be so cold that the water would be coming out of our eyes, and we'd have to warm up a lot longer because the Liverpool Territory girls never wanted to take their tracksuits off. So we always thought, oh, that's a disadvantage. They're doing this deliberately.
That's why you've got to host them up where you are.
Yes, and no one wants to come. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why either. Speaking of going even further north, the TV Islands footy final, did you get over for that?
No, I didn't. Again, it was still capped at a certain amount of numbers, but it was a great day because what they actually do with the Tiwi Island Grand Final is they make it an art fair in the morning. They make a real day of it for visitors, especially to go to the island from, say, 10 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock at night. So, it was a really, really big day for them because they had not sold art and had an art fair and had so many visitors for that time. And then they have the grand final later in the day. So, yeah, it was the 51st Tiwi Island Grand Final as well. The Bulldogs taking on the Imaloo Tigers. And as I said, such a wonderful experience. If you ever want a great tradition of sport and some wonderful, wonderful, I just guess the skill of seeing the Tiwi Islanders play, it's just an amazing day. But unfortunately, I wasn't able to get over there on that day. But I have been there and I have been part of a broadcast team there. And it really goes down as one of the biggest highlights of my sporting journalistic career.
There's one other thing I want to ask you about. And this is just whether there's any concern in Australia. Because I, as a lot of cricket fans, follow the fortunes of the New Zealanders playing in the Indian Premier League, the Indian 2020 competition. And, you know, normally it's how well are they doing, although we're a bit torn this year because we want our New Zealand players to be available for this final, the Test Championship that we're in with England, that Australia isn't. But, you know, if they do too well in the Indian Premier League, like Kane Williamson and Trent Bolt and some of the others, then they might not be available for that Test match. But then I started thinking about, hang on, India's now this, as you just heard in the news, your news and our news, India's now got the highest case numbers in terms of COVID-19. And I'm thinking, is anyone getting a bit worried about their cricketers over there in Australia?
Oh, absolutely. And I think for those Australian cricketers, it would be a day-to-day proposition, especially like the likes of the New Zealanders and the Australians, where we have been so fortunate. Maybe not so much as, you know, we've had harsh lockdown. I do understand that. But in terms of our casualties and infection rate, we will always say that we're just both such lucky countries. And you're right. I mean, they're playing in empty stadiums, but they've still got, 8 teams playing about 60 games. But the thing is that 6 venues, so they're moving around. I'm not sure, but I'm sure these Australian players especially have done, you know, their due diligence, that they'll be looked after. I know there are a couple of Australian players that decided not to go. Obviously, if you're selected, it's not compulsory that you actually have to go. Some did decide to stay at home. But, yeah, when you think of what's happening in the country at the moment and their daily cases numbers and just how bad it is for them outside of those stadiums, I guess they're all just taking a very, very big chance and we hope that nothing happens to them. But, yeah, they're playing. There's about 200 players, I think, living in a bubble. But they have hundreds of support staff. They're getting tested a lot. All the broadcasters are living under the same conditions as well. But, yeah, you just hope that at least their quarantine measures or their bubbles, that, you know, nothing can get in, because that would absolutely be devastating.
Shannon, it's been lovely speaking with you. All the very best.
Brian, have a lovely evening, and to all your listeners as well, enjoy your Monday night.
Thank you, Shannon. That's Shannon Byrne, our sportscaster on the other side of the Tasman, up there in Darwin. Back again with more Aussie sports stories in around about 6 weeks.